times. It doesn't say every now and then. It doesn't say when you behave. It doesn't say when you misbehave. It says all the time. 14 months ago, we started a pandemic. How many people thought, how many churches thought, this is the end? We're not going to have people coming in. What's going to happen? But you know what? We serve a God that always beats the odds. So my Father says, don't worry, I got you, because I beat all the odds. Those people that say you're not going to amount to anything, I'm going to prove them wrong. You just trust in me. That mother that was told, your son is not going to make it. Your son is not going to make it. Look at the life that he's living right now. Just embrace God's promise and know that God is telling you today, I'm going to beat that odd. I'm going to make sure that he makes it. I'm going to take your marriage. I'm going to take your life. I'm going to take everything that you have. And I'm going to make sure that it will survive as long as you trust me. That when we say God is good all the time, that we understand that we're not talking about just every now and then. That we're talking when you're down, when you can't go anymore. When everything just is closing down on you, when you have no hope. When you lost your job and you're like, where is the next paycheck is going to come from? When is the next meal is going to come from? There is a God in heaven preparing someone to provide for you. Because we don't depend on a job. We depend on the Lord that is in the heavens and the earth. A God that would always fight for you, no matter how everything gets. Let the world worry about those things. You and I have to worry about serving the Lord. And he will make sure that your life is always in his hands. And I love that I serve a God that is always beating those odds. When I left the Lord at 12 years old, 13 years old, I had an uncle who served the Lord. But an uncle that said to me, you're not going to amount into anything. You're going to be a lost soul. You're going to end up in hell. You're going to end up a drug addict. You're going to end up an alcoholic. But there was a little lady. There was a grandmother that said, no. For as long as I live, I will pray for that boy. For as long as I'm alive, I will prophesy. Know what he is right now, but what he could be in the hands of the Lord. And I'm thankful that that person did not give up on me. That person did not give up on me. And I said, I'm not going to go to church. I want nothing to do with church. But my grandmother said, it's not what you say that counts. It's what he says that counts. And the seed was already there. I just had to get to that right moment. And that right moment came. And if that promise was made, and that promise was fulfilled for my grandmother, for my mother, and it has for many of us, don't give up. Don't give up in the middle of the circumstances. Don't give up in the middle of the hardship and the difficulties. Know that God is in control. He was in control yesterday. He is in control today. And he will be in control tomorrow. Because God doesn't change. You might be seated. It is truly an honor. And I'm not going to lie. Scary as I don't know what to be here. Right? He never gets old. He never gets easy. Every time, well, don't do it. I don't know how pastor does it. I don't know how he does it. All I know is every time that I do, I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and I can't go back to sleep. And I pray and I'm, okay, Lord, can you let me go to sleep now? It's 5 o'clock. Okay, so I guess you got some more to do. And it's 5, 6, of course it's 7:30 when it's time to get up. Now my body wants to go to sleep. But the spirit says, no, now you got to get up to go to church. But that is good, right? Because then you know that you're not depending on yourself. This is not about you. This is about him, right? Because if this was up to me, who knows where would I be at? Who knows where my family will be at right now? But I'm thankful that this is all about the Lord. And today I would like to speak to you under the theme, Leaving the Calling, right? And I'm going to focus on the life of David. And I want to bring 4 points about David's life. And let us pray. You can be seated. Let us just pray so God can just, he knows what you need. I don't know what you need. And good thing that I don't know what you need, right? Because I might tell you something that you might not need. But the Holy Spirit knows what you need. And the Holy Spirit is the one that is going to minister you the same way that ministered me. And he keeps ministering me. Because the word touches you first. It lets you see the things that you have to do so you can give it on to others, right? right? It never comes back void, but we have to embrace it. We have to apply it. No matter how difficult it is, we have to accept it. Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you, O Lord, for another opportunity that you're giving us to be in your house, O Lord, for allowing us, O Lord, to give you honor, to give you worship, and to give you praise, O Lord. Not because of what we have done, but because of who you are, O Lord, because what you have done, O Lord. Thank you, O Lord, because we understand that we are children of God, O Lord. We understand that you are our Father, O Lord, and we lean on you because you are our cornerstone, O Lord. You're the one that will never leave us and that will never forsake us. I put my hands on your, or I put my body in your hands. Everything that I do, O Lord, let it be to glorify you. Take or maintain control, O Lord, of this service, and let your Holy Spirit, O Lord, be the one that does whatever it needs to be done in each and every single one of us, O Lord. I ask for this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I pray, amen and amen. 1 Samuel 13:14 says, Prophet Samuel speaking, says, but now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler of his people because you have not kept the Lord's commands. This is Samuel talking to Saul. Pretty much telling Saul, your days are counted. What you were, you're not going to be anymore. Not because of something that I have done, because of something that you have done. Because you have forgotten everything that I had told you to do, and you have gone your own ways. And who was this little boy? David. Now, David, if we go back to the life of David, we're going to see that David was minding his business. He was doing his job. He was following his father's instructions, taking care of the family business, obeying his dad's commands. He was doing what he was told to do. He wasn't looking for glory. He wasn't looking for recognition. He wasn't looking for fame. He was simply doing the task that was given to him. See, we tend to misunderstand things, and we want to get the calling before we put in the work. So that, oh, I want to be called, and once I get the calling, that's when I'm going to start serving others. No. God is going to call you if you're already serving. Because we all have a calling. And it's so funny how sometimes people tell you, oh, I want to help in the Lord. I want to do this in the Lord. I want to do that in the Lord. Oh, can we go here? Can we go prison ministry? Oh, that's not for me. Are they not lost souls in that? But we want to. So you want instructions? Pick up the Bible and follow his lead. You want someone who's going to lead you? Listen to the Holy Spirit. You're looking for a field to work on. Just look around you and you will see the necessity that is around us. And we serve in a church that you can serve whoever you want to serve. You want to serve the youth, talk to Pastor Robert. You want to serve the elderly, talk to Sister Yomari and Joey. You want to help in prison ministry, talk to Pastor Carlos and Pastor Hector and Pastor Ruth. You want to help with the couples ministry, talk to Pastor Victor and Pastor Bruni. You want to help with the children, talk to Pastor Artie. There is no excuse. Oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to serve. I don't know what is God calling me to do. You know what God is calling us to do? To serve other people. To show others what God came. When Jesus came, he didn't say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. No, he said, the necessity is there, that's where I'm going. The necessity is over there, that's where I'm going. Whatever the need was, that's the walk, the path that he will take. But we want the calling, but we don't want to put in the work. We want the glory, but we don't want to go through the hardship that it takes. We want the final product, but we don't understand that to get to that product, there is many steps that has to be taken. We want to see the end, right? It is so beautiful to see the worship team leading us in praise and worship in here every Sunday. But do we know the hours that they have to spend on a Thursday or whenever they come? Do we know the sacrifice that they have to make leaving their family behind? We see the final product, but we don't see what is behind it. So we need to understand that in order to see that glory, in order to see that final product, there has to be a process. So don't look for a calling so you can start working. Start working and God will put on the calling on you. That's how it works. And that's what I want to talk to you about. Because David didn't start to walk in God's will after the call came in. He was already listening to God's voice. And today, I want to speak to you about four things that we all need to do to fill God's calling in our lives. Four things that we need to understand and embrace to be the man and woman that God called us to be. Point number one, let God fight your battles. Now, David's brothers were part of the army. The Israelites and the Philistines were fighting, like always, right? So David's father sent David to go to the camp to take some provisions, right, some supplies, and just to make sure that his brothers were fine, that they were alive, and just to take something for him, for them and their commanders. So David didn't go into the battlefield looking for a fight. He didn't go there and say, hey, I'm going to face Goliath. He just went to do what his father told him to do. But when the fight came to him, he didn't back down. He didn't run away from it. So when God puts you in the middle of something, don't run away from it. Understand that that wasn't in your plans, but that was in God's plan. Understand that, oh, I might not be ready. Good that you're not ready. The one upstairs is the one that has to be ready. He's not looking for what you have. He's not looking for your abilities. He's looking for your obedience. He's looking for your submission. He's looking to see what is it. Because the truth of the matter is, I got nothing, absolutely nothing to offer to God other than my obedience. And in my obedience, he can do more than any knowledge, any strength that I could give him. Because all of that is limited, but the power of God is unlimited. It's that unlimited power that has no boundaries, that he puts you in the middle of something is because he's going to give you the victory. See, God hasn't lost the battle. And I guarantee you that yours and mine is not going to be the first one that he's going to lose. God is going to go undefeated. No matter how many battles, okay, you and I have to face, if I trust in the Lord, he will give me the victory. Why? Because his Bible says so. Because his word says so. Because his promises told me that if you seek me, you will find me. That if you're with me, if you walk with me, I will walk with you. That if you follow the path that I have for you, though you will take detours, like we were talking with the man yesterday, and in parentheses, those who didn't come yesterday, they lost a great blessing. We're meeting with the men every third Saturday of the month, 9:30, every single month. So put it on the side on your schedule. You might not be able to come every Saturday, but, you know, try to come every now and then. The wives, send them. We're going to train them well. They're going to come back better husbands than what they did when they left the house. So it's a benefit for you too, okay? Look at Chris. Chris is like, what is going on right here? No, but, okay, the ladies said the same way. Ladies, come to the woman's breakfast, and husbands, don't be an obstacle for them coming because there will come better wives too. So it's a beneficial thing. But yeah, it's every third Saturday of the month, 9:30. We'll be here in June. So if you couldn't make it yesterday, try to make it the next one in June. So God will always fight your battles. And the interesting point of the story is that David shows up, but yet the soldiers, the capable ones, right? The one with all the training, the ones with all the knowledge, the one with the sword, with the spear, with the javelin, with everything, they were running away. They were scared. They didn't know what to do. They saw the giant, and they were looking at the giant, and they were putting themselves right next to the giant. What can I do against the giant? How can I defeat this giant? What kind of power do I have to go over this obstacle? But David said, nah, man. You're not looking at this right. This is not about you. He's not defying you. He's not making fun of you. He hasn't risen against you. He has risen against Israel. He has risen against God, the God that is in heaven, the one that called you, the one that called me, the one that said, I will make you victorious. Not because of what you can do, but because of the power that I have. See, they got it all twisted. But David, it's amazing how a little boy, compared to these soldiers, someone with no experience in the battlefield, but with plenty of experience of trusting God in the midst of difficulties. I'd rather take a man that will stay faithful, okay, in the midst of difficulties than take someone that has all the power, all the knowledge, and all the material things. Because you know what? All of those things come and go. You break his strength, you don't know what kind of man you're going to get. You take away his possessions, you don't know how he's going to react. But you have a man of faith, regardless of what he has or what he doesn't have, he's the same yesterday, today, and he will be the same tomorrow. Because he knows, I trust, or know what I have, but in the one who called me. And that's what David did. And it's amazing how this audience, they forgot. They forgot that many, many years ago, there was a God that says, I'm going to open the ocean so you can walk in dry land. So a God who can open the oceans, but he cannot defeat this army? If he was able to do it before, why is he not going to do it now? Because we tend to change our focus and we don't see. We see what's in front of us. And we start looking vertical when we need to look horizontal. Because that's where the help comes from. You see, when you look this way, and all of it sees like, oh my God, I can't manage this. I can't deal with this. I can't. How am I going to do it? Then you know what? Go on your knees, look up, and God is going to tell you, now you're getting it. Now you're getting it. Now I can do something with you. Now I can fight your battles. Because that battle, this is the truth of the matter, the battle is out of our league. We can't do nothing with the things that we're fighting against other than trust in God and let him fight your battles. Because those who has risen against you, they didn't wake up and they didn't say, you know what, I'm going to go after you. They're after you because of the God that you're serving. So in reality, they're not after you. They're after God. And who in their right mind or who with all the power that they have can defeat God? Nobody. Everything that is in this earth has been created by God. So when does creation is going to be more than the creator? Huh? When? When does something that was created is going to have more power than the one that says, I'm going to create you? But we forget all these things. And we need to take the pressure of having to win the battle. Because we're never going to win it. The moment that you say, God, I can, now I'm going to let you do your thing. Then you take that pressure off yourself. Then you understand, oh, when I speak to someone, it's not me speaking. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to that person. When you're in the middle of something and you feel like you can't go anymore, then you say, God, now you take control. And then God says, okay, so now I'm going to act on your behalf. Now I can do what I could always do. So we need to do what's humanly possible and leave the impossible to God. But why do we worry about the impossible? What can we do with the impossible? Other than lose sleep, lose your hair, lose weight. Well, if you want to lose weight, then yeah, worry all you want. But there are other ways to lose weight, healthy ways, right? To lose weight. You don't have to go to the extent. But why worry? Why worry? Huh? Why worry about things that you have no control? When the one that is in control of everything is sitting just waiting for you to say, come on, call on me. Call on me. I said in my word that if you call that I will respond. My word is full of promises for you and your children, for you and your family, for you and everything that you have. So don't worry about those things. Just leave it in my hands. And I will act like the God that I am. But we need to do that. We need to change our focus to God. We need to remind ourselves that this is not about you and it's not about me. You see, God hand-selected you. It wasn't that God said, who wants to come? And we say, oh, I want to come. Okay, no. God said, you know what? I'm going to call you. I'm going to call you. And you might not think that you're capable of doing this, but I'm going to call you because you can see what I can see. But I can see what you cannot see. You see, your sight is limited, but mine isn't. Okay? Oh, you think that you don't have the power to do that? Don't worry about it. I got all the power that you need. All I need is your submission and your obedience. I'll take care of the rest. There is no mountain too high. There is no obstacle too strong if God is the one leading you to pass it. Simple enough. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that God hasn't been able to defeat when it's one of his servants who has gone before him doing something that God has sent them to do. It hasn't happened in the past. It's not happening in the present, and I guarantee you it will not happen in the future. So we need to embrace those promises. See, 1 Samuel 17, 46 and 40, 45 and 46. Look what David tells the Philistine Goliath. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. That this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down to cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistines' army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know there is a God in Israel. Sometimes we just read the word and we don't pay attention. Look what he says. I will strike you down and cut off your head. What did David have when he was fighting with Goliath? Sling and five stones. So how can you cut somebody's head with a sling and five stones? But he knew God was going to provide the sword. One way or another, God was going to give him that sword. And that sword, that giant has gotten up and said, I'm going to kill you with this sword. God said, no. That sword that he's swinging right now, that's going to be the end of him. Because whatever has come up to destroy you, God will use it. God will use it for his glory and his power. God will use it to let you know, listen, I don't need you to go with the shield. I don't need you to go with the javelin. I don't need you to go with the sword. Go with what you have. You're used to those fire. You're used to the stones and the slingshot. That's all you need to take. I will take care of the rest. Meanwhile, the other ones that had all the equipment, they couldn't go. Because David understood, this is not my battle. You came here. You're messing up with the God. Okay, the one and only God. And he who called me and he who called us will give us the victory over you. And that's what we need to understand. We need to understand that God gave the victory over Goliath, but David still had to show up. You still got to show up. This is not, oh, God is going to give me the victory, and I'm just going to sit here, and the victory is going to come. Oh, God is going to give me a job, but I'm not going to apply. It's not work like that. I want that house, but I'm going to wait for that listing to someone call me and tell me, oh, here is the listing. No. You got to do your homework. My son is lost, and I don't know what to do. And you say this, and you say that. How many times have you gone on your knees to pray for that child? My marriage is a mess. I don't know if it's going to last. Okay, have you told God? Because we want to, but we need to do the work. See, David had to go to the battle. It's not like David said, oh, I know that God can defeat Goliath. Let me just go and pray and wait for a miracle. No, you are the miracle. You got to walk in faith. You got to go there. You got to go to the battle. Those are going to stand behind you. The soldiers are going to say, I can't go because I'm afraid. It doesn't matter. I don't need the army. I got God here, God here, God here, and God here. And that's all I need. I don't care who wants to walk with me. You see, this is a lonely walk. It's a lonely walk. So don't expect the acolytes. Don't expect a lot of people to follow you. Because it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. We're going against everything that is outside. But I'd rather stand with God, okay, and be in his good side than stand with other people and be judged by God. Because you know what? That's what is worth it. We want to change the world one soul at a time. How do we do it? By standing firm with God. By walking into those battles that are impossible. But doing those things that we don't know how they're going to turn out. That's how we do it. Point number two. Okay, we need to expect troubles, even when you're doing good things. There's a saying that says, oh, good things happen to good people. Well, bad things happen to good people too. We all have experienced it. Corona hit, and it's not like, oh, you know, those who serve the Lord haven't been affected by it. We all have been affected by it. But God has given us the strength throughout. Through the losses, right? Through the victory, through the defeats, through so many emotions, we can all come today and say, God, you sustain me and you help me. When I couldn't go on, you told me, keep pushing forward because I'm still in control. Or you lost someone, does not matter. That person is in a better place right now. And don't worry that I'm still with you. I'm still the same God. That God that died on the cross for you 22,000 plus years ago. The one that will always, no matter what, would always be there when you call. We need to understand that. So we need to expect trouble. Sometimes you're going to get in trouble. Look what David did. I mean, he defeated the Philistine. He defeated the army. And some people, they were like, oh, yeah, David, ooh, he killed thousands and tens of thousands. And they were all happy. Yeah, you saved us and everything. But Saul was like, oh, man, this guy wants my kingdom. Because this guy wants something that is mine. And he wasn't his. Who gave it to him? The Lord. Who took it away from him? The Lord. So don't take things that are not yours. Oh, but I've been leading this ministry for so many years. And God is telling you, you need to move on. Oh, but I don't. No. It wasn't yours. God has another door that you need to go to. God has something else that you need to do. So don't fight against God. God wants to prepare somebody else for that ministry. And he's going to open another door so you can go somewhere else. So don't make it yours. Because God gave it to you and God is telling you, now it's time for you to move on because I need to prepare somebody else. Somebody else needs to step up. I got other leaders that I have to prepare. I already prepared you in this phase or in this aspect of your life. Now I got somewhere else that I need to take you. So we need to be sensitive. And we don't have that entitled that is mine. It's not yours. You didn't die on the cross. Did you? No, right? Didn't die on the cross. Simply, you didn't. God did. So God can do whatever he wants with everything that he has in his hands. God can move the pieces however he wants to move. I want to move you here. You got to go. Simple. You got to go. Why? Because God says so. Simple. But make sure that it's God the one who's talking to you, though. No, God. Oh, Brother Renee told me that I should go to Africa, and I'm going to leave my wife, and I'm going to go to Africa because Renee said from the front, I got to go to Africa. No. I want to be in a divorce lawsuit there. Oh, Renee is the... No. Okay, we need to listen to the Holy Spirit. But make sure that it's the Holy Spirit, the one that is telling you to move. Okay? Now, it's not you that I want to go, and Renee told me that I should go. So, who? He's the answer that I was waiting. No. Gotta be careful. Hey, we can't do that. So, you see, expect troubles when you're doing the right thing because the troubles are going to come. I mean, Saul said, I'm going to kill David. I'm going to kill David because he's taking something that is mine. But David knew that he had to wait on the Lord. David knew, I had to suffer through all of this because I know that my Redeemer will come in the perfect time. I know that no matter how difficult everything is, this is not the end of my life. The best is yet to come. So no matter how good your day is, no matter how hard your day is, just know this, that God is still working in you for a better day. The best day still has to come. Our point number three, it says that we need to be honest, transparent, and sensitive to God. Nathan confronts David about what David did. David, rather than be fighting with his army, he stays home. He goes to his terrace. He looks at this married woman that wasn't his, and he says, I want that woman. I want it. See, David had reached a point when he thought that he could get whatever he wanted. Maybe he thought that the kingdom was in and all the people that were around him, all the people that were underneath him was his. But God needed to remind him, this is not yours. See, you're a king right now, but I'm the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm the one that is over you. You're doing my will. You're treating my people. But he took it. So, but what happened? You see, and that's what the Bible says, that David had that heart after God's. Because when Nathan confronted him, he didn't deny it. He didn't say, I didn't do it. He didn't say, what's the big deal? It's just one woman. Who cares? No. He understood what he has done. And look what Psalms 51, 1 and 4 says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all of my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you're right in your verdict and justify when you judge. He knew there was a judgment coming. But he thought, okay, I know God. I know the loving God. What do I do? Do I hide from him and lose my life? Or do I go to him and know that I will find redemption? Look what happened with Saul. When David was confronted with Nathan, David accepted and he found redemption. When Saul was confronted by Samuel, he denied it. He put excuses and he ended up taking his life. Right? Two different paths. They both had the same opportunity, but one decided to put excuses. The other one knew a Redeemer God and understood that God loves you through your ups, through your downs, through your failures, and through your accomplishments. That God doesn't leave you, doesn't forsake you. That God understands every single thing that is in your body better than anybody else. Okay, he knows it. And David knew that. So David, no, I know. But he understood it. And he looked for that redemption, but Saul didn't do it. So we need to understand that our actions have consequences. And though the consequences will come, I'd rather have those consequences sitting right next to God than being by myself when nobody's giving me the strength to go through it. Because if God is with me, he will carry me through everything. So we need to let God fight our battles. We need to remember that this is about Him and not you and me. We need to know that. We need to expect troubles. Doing the right thing will cost you. You see, the straight path is not the most popular one. Be transparent, and God will release you from the hidden pain and shame, and He will exchange your guilt for redemption and will bring change to your life. Point number four, persevere and you will enjoy God's promise. David becomes the king, 1 Samuel 5. So David waited for the promise. He knew that he had to persevere through persecutions. He had to leave his homeland. He was on the run for many, many years. But you know what the key to keep going was through the hardship and the difficulties? He focused on the promise. He knew there was a promise from God. He knew that this will come to pass. I will see this promise fulfilled in my life and in my children and in my marriage and in my home and in everything that I do. So I will not look to what's in front of me right now, because what's in front of me today might not be there next week. What's in front of me today might not be there tomorrow. But I know, like Pastor Ruth said, I know that God will move it away or will give me the strength while that thing stands in front of me. And until then, I will serve the Lord. Because if He's allowing Him for that to happen, it's because He has a plan for me. Because I have some growing up to do. Because there are areas in my life that I need to work on. And until I don't work on those things, God will not take it away. God will not take what's in front of you away. Because God wants to bless you. See, God wants to build up your character. You know what trials and tribulations do for a Christian? They build up your character. They bring you closer to God. When God is bringing something before you, He doesn't want to break you. He doesn't want to destroy you. He's trying to build you up. He's trying to tell you, I'm going to take this because I'm going to put this. Because whatever you had before, it wasn't working. So whatever I have right now is going to work. Aren't you tired of trying and always having the same results? We need to embrace the promise. You see, a promise was made to a young shepherd. But he had to go through a lot of up and downs. But he kept pushing forward. His promise was the fuel that kept him going. When he couldn't go no more, he knew that many years ago, over 10 years ago, there was a prophet that came and anointed him as king. So he knew it is going to happen. Saul doesn't have the last word. His army doesn't have the last word. The tribulations that I'm going right now don't have the last word. You know who has the last word? God that is in heaven has the last word over your life. And that's what we need to embrace. That's what we need to take. That's when we need to say, God, I'm coming to you. I'm here standing in the gap because I know that you will give me the strength to do so. But there is a process. We want the final product. But to get to that final product, we have to go through the process. You know what the beauty is? That once you get that blessing and you look back at everything that God has done for you, you're like, thank you, God. Thank you. Because whatever I have, I know that I did it. Not because of me, but because of you. I was reading a Bible study, and it says that us as Christians, that we're not accomplishers, right? We're believers. And when we believe, that's when we accomplish. So don't try to accomplish. Because everything that you accomplish out of the sight of God will come and will go. But whatever you accomplish by believing in God will last for eternity. So we need to do that. We need to recap. We need to let God fight our battles. Because this will take the pressure off yourself and it will change your focus to God, right? It will remind us that this is not about you and me. We need to know that troubles are going to come. Troubles are going to come. So bad things happen to good people. Doing the right thing will cost you. The narrow path is not the most popular one. And you will have to stand out. See, God didn't call us to fit in. I'm tired of Christians that are trying to fit in. When God said, I didn't call you to fit in, man. I called you to stand out. You got to be the difference. Wherever you go, you have to be the difference. No matter how everything gets, no matter how dark everything is, you have to be the difference. Because when you are, I could show my glory to those around you. That's what God wants. And we need to be honest and transparent. God knows that we're going to fail Him. God knows that we're not perfect. And God is not looking for perfect people. God is looking for people that are willing to obey him. See, God will release you from the hidden pain and shame and will exchange your guilt for redemption. And he will bring change to your life. And we need to persevere for the promise. Don't doubt that God's promise will come to pass. You see, today's battles will mold you. They will build you and transform you for a better present and a promising future. Okay, so if you need prayer to apply, I'm going to ask the worship team to pass. If you need prayer to come up, if you need prayer to apply this teaching, if you are in the middle of something and you don't know how you're going to go, or if you feel defeated and you're like, oh my God, all these troubles, all these tribulations, or if you're in a battle that you don't know how you're going to fight it, good. Knowing that is out of your hands, that's the first step. That's God letting you know, hey, I'm right here. I'm right here. Whenever you want to let it go, I'm right here. Whenever you want to take it off your shoulder, whenever you want to take it off your back and you want to give it to me, I'm right here. You want to carry it, you want to struggle, be my guest. I will suffer, I will be in pain, seeing your pain, but I can do nothing until you give it to me. So if you want to give it to God, we can help you pray. And let's just be the men and the woman that Christ has called us to be. There are pastors in here, there are church leaders that could pray with you. Because we're not alone. We're never forsaken, right? Though I walk in the valley of the shadow, I will not fear. Because my God, the Lord, will be with me, right? When others are going to get up against you, know that he who is inside of you is stronger and bigger than the one that has said, I'm going to take out your life. And those things that they're plotting to destroy you, God is going to use them to glorify his name and to give you the victory. God bless you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.